I do not know if you saw any of Franklin Graham's march yesterday. It wasn't about Donald Trump, but he was mentioned, of course, and prayed for, and you can see some of his supporters there. It was actually more about Jesus 2020. They say that there was at least 50,000 there. I don't know. I'm like with Gary. I think there was more than that. We'll see. Maybe we'll turn these pictures over to Gary and he can count them for us. Being our numbers guy. I was interested beforehand to see if BLM or Antifa would... It's on. I mean, I pushed the button. Okay. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right. I was interested to see if BLM or Antifa would show up. Those little groups of people would come and try to disturb 50 to 70,000 people. There's no reports yet. I'll be seeing today if something did happen, but I was very interested to see if they would want to collide with such a mass group. There was a promise given to Israel that if they would rejoice in God and know His word and know Him and remain in Him, that grace would follow them. If they didn't, then the beast would drive them out of the land. It's as simple as that. Because, see, in God, when you follow God, there's grace. When you give your life to Him and you're working on His behalf and you're talking about Him and you're singing about Him and doing life in Him, remember what Paul said, in Him we live and move and have our being. If you're living like that, grace is following you. Because it's one of the characters of God, it's the principle of God, it's His promise. It's going to follow you. Now Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, you will have tribulation. He didn't say great tribulation. He said you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. If He's overcome the world, who do we want to be in and with and for and singing with? And we want to be in Him. Because grace is going to follow Him. It's going to be where He is. It's going to be with us as we are in Him. I don't know what's happening to my gear this morning. There's a map. You saw that we were in Cyprus last week. Now they're going to go up past Perga there, and they're going to go up to Pisidian Antioch. When they got to Pisidian Antioch, there was a meeting in the synagogue. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. Because, see, when they are in God, grace follows them. I was astounded yesterday to see so many people out there last night. And then again this morning, Gary kind of spoke something that has been going on in my heart the last couple days, especially since last night. And that is this. Is God done with America? Because we don't see the unseen world, and we don't see everything that's going on around us. We hear the fake news, and we see stuff about the COVID and the riots. That's what we're seeing. But what else is going on? The fight for the church, the fight for the Constitution of the United States, which is a godly constitution, founded upon godly principles, and a godly justice, a godly government, in general. That's kind of the idea. That's what people are fighting for. And I'm thrilled to see that there are actually quite a few people fighting for those reasons, in particular for Jesus Christ, but also for this nation. The righteousness of a people exalts a nation. And I'm just wondering, I'm going to show them tonight at tonight's meeting, but I was looking at some earthquake maps yesterday, and I was looking at, do you know that there's not one hurricane or one storm in the Pacific or the Atlantic right now? I don't know what that means. I know this. There was seven of them in the Atlantic alone last week. Seven of them. And now not one. And the earthquake map is the quietest I've seen in a long, long time. I don't know what that means. All I can say is this. Antifa didn't show up at the meeting last night. And there was peace. Because I believe grace follows the word of God. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's urging them. He's urging this group who had received them. Listen, folks. If you want goodness and joy, if you want the grace of God to follow you, continue in the word, continue teaching and preaching, continue doing what God wants, and you will have it. And you will have it. But for whatever reason, there's just simply people who do not want to have it. I was again taken back in Sunday school this morning again when Gary was going through some of this work, and he started in Isaiah 35, and I just have to read it because I saw the connection according to the sermon here. It said in chapter 35, verse 1, the wilderness and the dry land of Israel, which had been, remember, the land kicked them out, but it shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And verse 8, and a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Why? Because Jesus is there. And grace, you know this, grace follows him. He is the God of grace. And if you are in him and with him, it can't help but bloom and blossom. We're watching this nation tear itself apart, and we're wondering if there's any help. And see, this has been going on for a long time. Watch this. We're coming to our verses here in 14, chapter 14 of Acts. Now, at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue, and they spoke. They spoke what do you think they spoke? The word of God. They spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Now, you see what's happening here. They speak, people accept it, the grace is continuing here, and then you have Antifa, the BLM of the Jews, or whatever. You have these antagonists that stir things up. Now look what they're doing here. They're stirring up the Gentiles against their fellow brother Christians. They stirred up the Gentiles and they poisoned their minds against the brothers. That word poison is to embitter. It's to make angry. They remember what Paul talks about in division. He talks about be careful to be a divider. If you're going to divide your brothers, you are in deep trouble with the Lord. You have fallen out of grace. And that's what some of these unbelieving Jews did. They got in between brothers and sisters in Christ. You see that? Remember last week we talked a little bit about the troubles from without and the troubles from within. And Mark left, and he's going to come back, and he's going to be accepted and all that stuff. But the trouble from within actually starts from without. You know, the culture, it comes into the church, it starts to divide things up in brothers and sisters in the church. And when that happens, people are disconnecting themselves from the grace of God. Things are going to start turning into a wilderness when that happens. In somebody's life. And in particular, the church is divided and things start going south. And the Lord wants us to remain in His grace. So they remained for a long time. Notice that they didn't run from it, Paul and Barnabas. They didn't run from this. They stayed for a long time, and they're doing the same thing. Look at this. Remember last time they spoke, now they're speaking. And they're speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, and some sided with the apostles. So you see what's happening here? That Paul and Barnabas didn't give up. They continued to speak the word of God, because with them is the grace. If they would have left, the grace would have left. But they're speaking, and now the Lord is going to bear witness about the word. How? By making the desert bloom. Through grace and granting signs and wonders. You see, now, again, you know, we sometimes wonder why this isn't happening with us. We'd like to see more of this. To be frank with you, we don't need that, do we? We have a wonderful nation. We have a wonderful church. We have it really made, in particular in the world. We don't really need signs and wonders. We already have the grace of God. And I believe that we have the grace of God because of what has been spoken for the last few hundred years in the United States. What the church has done. What people like Franklin Graham did last night. And what we continue to do. And folks, this goes for a nation. It goes for a family. It goes for a church. And it goes for an individual. If you are speaking words of grace and you are in the Lord and you're following Him like this, grace will follow you. Now that doesn't mean testing doesn't. That doesn't mean that God's not going to refine us and do some of those things. And we'll look at that in a minute here. But the word got out, and a lot of people came when they were, they went into the synagogue, and now it's divided because of certain people. Now, we go to verse 14 here. We see, but when the apostles Paul and Barnabas heard of it, now we're down here after they've healed this man with his feet, okay? So now what has happened is, and I didn't want to take the time to read it, but remember that Paul looks at this man and he sees that he has what? Faith. In what? What was spoken. So because he has faith, the Lord is going to give him grace. He's going to make his wilderness bloom. And so when this happens, all of a sudden the other side, remember this is the culture. The culture is going to start calling them Zeus and Hermes. They're going to bring their culture, try to bring it into the church again. But when Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing this? Why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, and who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, He allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet He did not leave Himself without a witness, for He did good by giving you grace. He did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your heart with food and gladness." Turn to the Creator, because all the blossoms, all the hearts of joy, all the singing is going to be right there. It's going to be with this person, Elohim, God, Yahweh, Jesus Christ. And so he stops them in their tracks and says, listen, why are you doing these things? Why are we continuing to do the cultural things and bringing up these idols when we have this God who has given us everything in joy and grace? You see, grace followed the word. Grace follows the word, and he follows the people of the word. There's an onslaught and an attack on the church in chapter 13 and the first part of 14, and they continue to do it on into 17 here. And this one's coming out of the culture. Remember last week we talked about how it came up from the high priest, it came from the Jews, it came from the Romans. Now it's coming from the culture themselves and from within if we're not careful. In Exodus 32, remember when Moses was on the mountain, and I know I've mentioned this, Aaron made a calf. He made a calf and they sacrificed to it, and many died because of it. In Numbers 12, Miriam and Aaron stand up against Moses again, and they rebel against him. In Numbers 16, Korah, a Levite of the priests, he stands up, him and his 250 people. They stand up and rebel against Moses and God. Remember, this happened at least twice to David by his own son, Absalom. And as soon as those rebellions happened, there was no grace for that side. Their trees and their gardens turned to wilderness. That's the way to look at it. Their lives turned to desert. They died, many of them. They died. See, this is how we poison water. If you want to poison somebody's life, you want to poison somebody's water, this is how you do it. You stir up the Gentiles in the church. You stir up brothers. Once you do that, the Lord is going to stand back. He's going to stand back. And hopefully, and the Holy Spirit will convict you, try to get you to change your ways. And if that does not happen, things are going to start happening that are not very helpful and not very fun. They're poisoning the minds of brothers. The people of the city were divided, split people up. An attempt was made to mistreat and stone Paul and Barnabas. The crowd saw what Paul had done and called them idols. And the priest of the idol worship brought an oxen to sacrifice with the crowds. And then, even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. So what's going to happen is that this whole kind of a picture of the church is in the community, you are out throughout the community, you see some things happening out there and you're trying to bring in the word, you're trying to bring into the grace of God, just know this, that it's not always going to be prosperous, that people are going to mistreat you and they're going to work against the grace of God. However, you're in the blossoms. You're in Sharon. You are in the grace of God. And look what they did. Those people who were in this green garden, this is what they do. The apostles spoke. A great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. They remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord. When they learned of it and fled to Lystra, I had to put that in there because they did do that. It was time to leave. They're going to shake their dust off their feet at some point and say it's time to go. And Barnabas and Paul heard of an idol worship and they tore their garments. They didn't want anything to do with the culture and what was going on. And generally, what they're doing is ministry. We've talked about this the last couple weeks, that they're doing ministry and they're in the grace of God. I want to take you to another place, one of the places that I mentioned here, where there's poison water. In Exodus 15, Moses had just got done singing about the horses, remember, being caught by the sea? The Lord has triumphed gloriously. Remember that song? So they have just been delivered from the Egyptians. The grace of God is with them. He just sang this song, and then the Lord says to Moses, make Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. Where are they? They're in the wilderness. Because see, that's what Egypt is. Without God, it's wilderness. They went there 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord. So here, the Lord has set Israel out under his umbrella, under his grace, into a wilderness. Now remember the promises that Israel has if they remain in the Lord. That what's going to blossom? The wilderness is going to blossom. Wherever they go, they're going to have what they need. So he's going to test them here. Take me with you. In fact, I'm going to lead you into the wilderness and watch what happens. So they come up to this water, which is bitter. It's poisoned because of the idol worship in the land. And they're wondering what to do. And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Now, in your Bibles, you will see, some will see a log, some will see a branch, but the word is tree. It's the same word for the tree of life. It's the same word all the way through Genesis up to this point. And you find a tree. Now, it probably wasn't very big. I would assume that he grabbed it out of the ground. He took it out of the ground. And it was probably a natural thing that God put there for this reason. However, there's something going on here, whether it's natural or not. There is grace, absolute grace involved here. Because watch this word, and the Lord showed. The Lord showed. That word is yara. It means in a progression of the thinking through the Pentateuch, it means to teach. I'm going to show you. You know, you show your kids how to do something. You show your kids how things work and what things are about. When you're showing them, you're teaching them. And so he literally saw this tree, but the Lord is teaching him. And by the way, didn't Jesus die on a tree? Jesus died on a tree. And when we see bitterness in the world, we're taking this word with us that, you know, there was this man who died on a tree. And when you look up at him, remember the serpent, and the people are dying because of snake bites, and the idea is to look up in Numbers, look up at the serpent and live. Look and live, there's another song. And so they're to look up at this tree, the serpent, this man, and live. Because he's turning bitter water sweet. Because the principle of God is this. That when you live in him, when you have your being in him, when you're working on his behalf and living on his behalf, you're living in grace. You're living in a garden. Now, some people don't want to accept that. Sometimes the Lord seems to pick on us a little bit. He takes a little bit too long to show us his grace and we get bitter. That's why he's testing them. Because they murmured. And they're, by the way, that's the first test. And they're going to continue to murmur. And guess what? They never enter the promised land. I've talked about this a lot of times. The book of Joshua is them crossing the Jordan. When they're no more on the defensive, they're no more afraid of God, they're no more just acquaintances with God, They are following God. They're following the ark. They go across this land on the offensive to take the land in faith. And when God sees that faith, like Paul saw this faith, he's going to heal them. He's going to heal you. Now, he's going to test you. And it may take years. It took them 40 years and they still did not come into fellowship with the Lord. Remember, it says in Acts 14 there, that no matter what Paul and Barnabas said to some of those people, they still would not be swayed. They still wouldn't be swayed. But isn't it interesting that in that chapter of Acts, when Paul said to them that he was done with them, verse 47 of 13, I'm just going to read this verse. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the Lord. That's in chapter 13. In chapter 14, when they heal this man, and these people come up against them, it says, but Jews from Antioch and Iconium have persuaded the crowds. They stoned Paul and dragged him out, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and entered the city. And the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. And then he says that back here in I can't find that verse. It says that when they turned from the Jews and wiped the dust off their feet, what did the Gentiles do? The Gentiles rejoiced. He said, because you have turned a hard ear to us, we have turned to the Gentiles. And there the Gentiles rejoiced. And Paul left them behind and went on. That's the same kind of a thing that's happening in Exodus 14, 15 here. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule. See, here's the rule. And there he tested them, saying, if you diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord, your healer. Then they came to Elim. Now watch, they're in the wilderness. They're at the bitter waters. They were turned sweet, but now look where they come. They came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Because, see, that's where the Lord led them. He's going to take us through these wildernesses sometimes, and we've got to see the hand of the Lord and listen to the word of the Lord, but he's always leading us to the garden. He's always leading us to those things of his grace. Acts 14. Yet he did not leave, and this is what the Lord, Paul told them. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with gladness. Psalm 119 says this, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Ezekiel, son of man, he said to me, eat and fill your stomach with the scroll I am giving you. So I ate, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. I'll tell you, one of the tendencies I have sometimes is that when somebody is rebuking me or coming up against me or trying to turn my garden into a wilderness, I want to shoot back with poison. I want to shoot back in division. Because, you know, as soon as you stand up and as soon as I stand up and put my face into somebody's face, they're never going to do that again. But listen, they're never going to do anything again. They're done. They may leave. They may leave you. They may stay here and you'll just never hear from them again. Because our tendency is to say, is to divide and use harsh words for that. And yet the Lord is saying, to you, sweet honey, use his word. Now, that does not mean, again, about testing and rebuking and discipline and all those other things. But in our general tendencies, the whole idea is to use grace and God's word so that people will not be divided from the garden of God. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly. They didn't run away. They didn't say, I've given up on you. You can find grace by yourself. And the world, again, I'm taken back by what the world has been doing and what we've been seeing on the TV. And yet there are so many people. We saw 1,000 people baptized in Southern California a week or two ago. And thousands are coming to Christ online because they're trying to be divided by their government. And yet, those people who are in God, those people who are working in the ministry of God and speaking the word of God, they're bearing fruit. They're causing fruit to be grown because they remain for a long time. The heart of Barnabas and Paul was to stay there and not run. They bore witness to, and then the Lord bore witness to the grace of God by granting signs and wonders.